Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Welcome, everybody, to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I am your host, T. Morris, and I am joined by my co-host and author of Infinite Awesome, because we have done this book so many times, we should be sick of it, but we just keep coming back for more. That's Chuck Tomasi over there. Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. What a setup, man. That's
you. Thank you.
Didn't think you had anything left in the tank today.
I'm going to be... I promise you, chat and listeners everywhere, after this recording section, I am going to go to bed. I'm going to faceplant hard. And if I make it to my bed, that's going to be impressive, because there's a great comfy couch out there. I could just put on some true crime and fall asleep to Blue Bloody Murder. Literally, I could do that. All right, Chuck. We are back to talk a little bit. Actually, we're going to be touching base on something we talked about way earlier in the Podcasting for Dummies companion podcast, because we are talking about chapter 8 for episode 13. Chapter 8 is entitled Clean Up Podcast Aisle 8. This is where we talk about the art of the final touches, the art of editing, the art of the intro, the art of what the hipsters call the outro. And this is, we're talking about, you have just completed your recording. You know, you've got done. Now what? And these are all the, as they like to say on WandaVision, no spoilers, as they like to say in WandaVision, the devil's in the details. And that's where I think, if you're smart about it, it's the most time-consuming part of the podcast, mm-hmm. but it can also be one of the most rewarding aspects of the podcast. So, do we want to talk about the ethics of editing a podcast?
Let's do that real quick. We have talked about that before, but the ethics of editing would involve, you've got a guest on, and maybe they're not saying something that agrees with your podcast or your opinion or whatever it is, and you start to do some editing that changes the tone. You might have seen this in magazines. You may have seen this in other media, where someone says, hey, I didn't say that. I was just thinking about that episode of The Expanse where the UN prime minister's on stage and the speech writing lady's in the audience going, yeah. And she's mouthing along until you get to this certain part, like, your face goes white. Like, I didn't write that. Well, that can happen in podcasting too. So you have to decide if you're going to be that ethical editor and leave things in. I did have one episode where there was somebody I invited on who was traditionally a little toxic in his opinion. We got through it, and for every grenade he lobbed at me, I jumped on it and gave my opinion, and it worked out fine. So in a way, I'm kind of glad he was lobbing those grenades at me, because it gave me a chance to voice my side of the equation. Whereas if you just did that in a blog or a comment, it's like, here's my opinion, blah, blah, blah. So it was a good dialogue. So you can turn it to your advantage.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because there's a difference. There's a big difference between editing for content and re-editing someone to say what you want them to say.
So
let me give you an example. Let's say Chuck and I are interviewing each other, and let's say Chuck is the toxic guest, because that's never going to happen. But let's say I ask him about the state of podcasting.
I'm working on it.
Sorry, spoke too soon. Anyway, so let's say I ask him about the state of podcasting, and Chuck goes on for about 5 minutes about how he feels that maybe the state of podcasting is becoming oversaturated. There are too many podcasts. It's every Tom, Dick, and Harry making their own podcast.
Everyone's running to Clubhouse.
Right. Exactly. Everybody's running to Clubhouse,
which they're not.
Right. Exactly. But then we go there. Then he goes, let's talk about, and then suddenly Chuck gets really super toxic and goes, let's talk about Clubhouse and the losers that are in there. And then he goes on another 10 minutes about how much he hates Clubhouse and how much he hates this. So you are faced with the ethic of, do I leave this alone or do I find a stopping point and take that out?
Or do you just not air it? I mean, you've got that option too.
I've had that happen a couple times too. So here's how I approach that. I would take Chuck's answer. And then the moment he says, for example, I would mark that and I would take out the for example and everything and the 10 minute rant about Clubhouse. And I would just chuck that because my original question to Chuck was in this hypothetical situation is what do you think is the state of podcasting? Mm-hmm. Not what were your thoughts on Clubhouse? Now, if I set up Chuck for something to say, yeah, I'd like your opinions on Clubhouse and I don't like his answer. That's a different story altogether. And that could jeopardize the relationship between interviewer and interviewee in the future. But the other part of now I've never had this happen as an interviewer or an interview subject, but I have, this is why every time I'm in an interview and I want to get Chuck's spin on this. Every time I'm in an interview, I always listen to the interview because I want to know if they have in fact altered my answer to fit whatever agenda that podcast has. That is very unethical. To take someone's answer and change it to suit your needs, that's a different subject altogether.
Yeah.
Which is what we're talking about here. It's the same subject. What am I talking about? It's unethical. It is an unethical thing to do. Have you ever been in a situation, Chuck? Not necessarily with Technorama, because Technorama does not lend itself to that sort of interview, I don't think.
But for
people interviewing you, whether it's about Podcasting for Dummies or whether it's about something else, have you ever had a situation where someone has altered the message and you're like, that's not what I said?
I've not been in that situation yet. I've had a limited number of interviews for the podcasting space and my workspace. So it doesn't come up all that often. But as I mentioned a few shows ago, there were some opportunities. I've been on a couple of podcasts. At this point, I'm waiting for them to be edited and aired. So
we'll
see what happens.
Right. I know there's also, and we talked about this from an interview perspective too. If I pick up on the fact that, hey, you know what? I wasn't cool with that answer. Mm-hmm. Would you mind cutting that out? I've had some podcasters not do that, even after I requested it on the interview. And they left it in there. And I remember asking one of the podcasters, okay, so not only did you leave that answer in there, you left in me asking you to take that out. Why did you do that? And they said, I literally got this as an answer, Chuck. I don't believe in editing.
I believe
in capturing the moment through podcasting.
No.
So Chuck, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, that's a great segue into when is it appropriate to edit and when is it not? And there are times when you may want to have that raw capture of the moment for continuity purposes. One, if you're walking down a street and suddenly the continuity changes and all that background noise goes away, what happened? Right. It's confusing to the listener. So, that might be a rough estimate of when you may want to not do any editing, or you're capturing an event as it unfolds and as it happens. But I think a modicum of editing is always appropriate. I will go back and edit this audio before we put it on the podcast. I know a couple of weeks ago you had a sore throat and there were a few. I would take those out so that it was a little cleaner and easier to digest, but it wasn't major. There were a couple of parts where we stammered, we repeated, we backed up, and we went, we said the same thing again. It's like, we don't need that. It makes us sound like idiots because we're repeating ourselves. So,
exactly.
We clean up the audio a little bit. And of course, we put in the intro and the outro and polish it up. So it's a nice podcast to listen to.
And we're going to get to intros and outros in just a second. One of the other things that I would say, too, is that it also depends on the project of how much editing you're going to have to do. Case in point, last week I was a pinch hit guest on Technorama. Oh no, it was 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago or was it last week?
2 weeks ago.
Man, I'm losing track of time.
Me too.
So 2 weeks ago, I was a pinch hit guest on Technorama, and I had a blast. And when I listened to it, I'm like, yep. It's all very raw, very off the cuff. And that is the nature of Technorama. And there are the occasional ahs and ums, not mm-hmm. too many, but you know, because that's how Chuck rolls. And what I've noticed is when I do those types of shows, whether it's Technorama, The Shared Desk, Happy Hour from the Tower, those really require very little editing, unless we're going off on a toxic tangent.
there's a technical error,
and we'll get to that one too. But with but then there are other projects that really demand heavy editing. Case in point, something that I got to tell this quick story about Humble Tomasi over there. I asked Chuck to be a guest voice for one of my Podio books, which was an audiobook released as a podcast. And the project was called Billabub Baddings in the Case of the Singing Sword. And Chuck had never done any voice acting before. And he's like, see, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. And I
said, give me some direction here.
And I said, okay, for these lines, I want you to be as nerdy as possible. He's like, okay. And I went, and for these lines, find that inner Christopher Lee. And I kid you not, Chad, I got some raw audio that was, I mean, some of the best audio performances ever. His first one is he's nerdy, he's sniveling, he's great. And then the last half of his reel, it is an effing Hammer House of Horror movie, okay? It is all Christopher Lee. And I'm like, perfect. But the thing is, even Spence and Chad was like, I remember that. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm going to have to go back and listen. I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. Chuck has given me the heebie-jeebies, and I really don't like it. So anyway, but in that respect, I had to make sure there were no stammers at all. I had to make sure that the narration was on point. I had to make sure, and Resonant Moon in chat, a.k.a. Spence, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to make sure it's all nice and clean. The I's are dotted, T's are crossed.
Timing is everything when it's conversational as well.
Right. But it gets even more complicated. The editing gets even more complicated because when I got Chuck's audio, it was just his lines.
Yep.
And then I had to basically take my lines, his lines, and I had to make them. I sometimes made them overlap. I sometimes had to because in the scene, just for context, in the scene, Billy was under a hallucinogenic, and that was because it was a truth serum that Chuck's character was trying to get him to tell what he knew about the singing sword. And as you're getting into Billy's headspace, you know, his own words are sounding really weird to him. So I was doing audio engineering there. All these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, in that respect, I had to take the time because it wasn't a slice of life kind of podcast. This was a dramatic presentation, and you want to make sure that it is seamless. So there are going to be times you're really going to have to edit, and there are going to be other times where you really just you can be like, you know, just a review, and then you're good, you're ready to go. Now that's another thing I wanted to ask you, Chuck. Do you also, when you're editing, part of what I set aside time for is a review of the final podcast? Do you go back and listen to it to make sure that everything sounds smooth?
For those,
or
for
you're
the,
just like,
yeah, for the one take jobs like Technorama, no, I record it, done. I mean, I make sure
it's
that, I may load it into Audacity and go, yep, it's a waveform. And it starts out as hello and welcome to Technorama and ends right with a binary high five. There, it's a podcast. Send it to Craig and he does whatever he does to it, mm-hmm. which is, you know, level it out, post it, put the show notes up. We got our workflow pretty much automated on that show. When it comes to other ones, particularly the ones I do for work or interviews, I'm starting to be a little more prescriptive in putting in time codes so that the listener knows what the topics are. And I can list them on the topics because I take that list of topics and turn it into a bullet list in this particular blog right. and that particular YouTube, and it's the same list over and over. But I want to say, hey, at 10 minutes, we're going to talk about this, and at 11:45, we talked about this, and we switched topics over to that. And the listener can call, either follow along, or if they put it down and pick it up a week later, they just punch it to that time code and have it. So yes, I am listening specifically for that. Where did the topics change? And also giving it that second ear of, did it flow? Did I miss something? Oh my gosh, right. I repeated something. You know, that was just a bad edit. Let's go fix that. So right. yeah, I do review more than I used to.
So let's talk a little bit though about workflows and ways to make your editing time a little more mm-hmm. economic. Intros and outros. When we talk about intros and outros, what exactly is that? You might also hear this term thrown out, boilerplate beginning, boilerplate ending. What does that mean? It basically means very similar to what you hear in this particular podcast. You notice that all the intros and outros, they start with my teenage daughter at 3 asking if dad wants to podcast. Yes, that recording is that old. And what I did was is that I took I basically took all the stuff that you would normally say at the beginning of the podcast, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast with T. Morris and Chuck DeMasi, that's it. And then there's the intro music. That's an intro. And if you play it right and you know how to do it easily, you can also do an outro, pre-record that as well. And that's where you have like, now we do it live. We read the Creative Commons license. We talk about where you can find us and where you can leave voicemail. We do that live, but that's also an outro. And what a boilerplate beginning and ending does is you can pre-record all that stuff at the beginning, pre-record all that stuff at the end. And then when you record a bulk show, you know, you get your show done, all you do is slap on the intro, slap on the outro, you're done.
And there are ways to automate that. I mean, there's services such as Auphonic, Auphonic, right. that you get, I think we've got like the basic rate, 10 hours a month where they will process up to 10 hours of audio. Mm-hmm. And you can upload your intro. You can upload your outro if it's pre-canned and say, all right, I want to play this. And at 7 minutes, you can even have it fade in, because if your intro is 30 seconds long and you want to start talking at 10 seconds, you can do that. It's pretty well canned. And that means you just take your raw wave file, send it to them. They levelate it. They put the front and end on it, and they put it on right. your FTP server. Like, wow. Okay. That solves a problem. Of course, it's a service and you pay for that service, but there are ways to streamline this tremendously.
And that's the other thing too. You may, at the very beginning of your podcast, if you do a canned intro and a canned outro, you may spend a lot of time getting that dead solid perfect. And that's okay, because all the time you're investing in the front end of your podcasting pre-planning, it's gonna pay off when you're actually in production, because then all you got to do is go intro, outro, yep. I'm out.
Yeah, and that's one of the funny things about this is, you know, it comes later in chapter 8, but it's often one of the first things I do before I even record the first podcast.
I know, right?
And
exactly.
It can take exactly. days. Don't it underestimate does. How long it takes to find that perfect theme or that perfect transition. Or, my gosh, I just did a new one this morning for work. We did a 3-minute segment, and I probably spent 4 hours finding something that sounds like a 5-second stinger for a news segment. You know, one of right. those. You can kill your calendar finding
so
these
much
things.
Time.
Yeah.
So much time.
But in the end, it's worth it, because that's the branding that goes on your show.
I can talk about the 3 instances where I had the intro outro and I searched for the perfect bed music. I spent days in GarageBand, as I like to now call it because of my wife.
Yeah.
She's from the Commonwealth. I spent days in GarageBand composing original themes, because I didn't want to get DMCA'd. I did not want to get DMCA'd. I did not want to break any rules. Yes, we're getting to that as well. But I spent days in GarageBand composing stuff. And I was like, well, that's not really economic. Then I invested in Digital Juice, and Digital Juice was pretty awesome. That's digitaljuice.com, by the way. But my days became hours. I would comb several volumes of Digital Juice just to get the right, just to hear the right piece. And then I'd run it through the juicer where it would give you all the different tracks that were in that piece and go, well, which ones do you want to take out? Which ones do you want to keep? And I would do that and I would tinker with that. Then there was the last thing I did. And that involves author, podcaster, truly a content creator because he also does photography and he does music composition. And that is Alex White. Alex White is one of those original legends who his writing career started with The Gearheart. And you can still find that online. You can look that up. It's The Gearheart. And it's done by Alex White, the same guy who has an alien book, Cold Forge, and he has another alien book coming. I think the second alien book is called Into Charybdis. And then he's also currently working on some other IP. But yeah, Alex White is an amazing individual. And he was doing a GoFundMe for a very specific kind of iPad that would help his kid who was dealing with autism. He's struggling with it. And there was a specific iPad that had a specific app that allowed more interaction. Well, we donated on one of the top tiers. And one of the things that we got for that donation was original composition.
Nice.
And within 2 days, we got an original theme for Tales from the Archives. And that was the easiest intro outro I've ever produced because I already had the bed music and all I had to do was do the intro and the outro. I had to coordinate it with Pip. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Alex does use they, them. Thank you for that heads up. Speaking of which, Resident Moon, going back to some of your comments, Chuck, you already
mentioned bed music. So give the listener a quick review in case they missed it in the book. What is bed music?
And we will get to that. But first, I wanted to say Resident Moon did say they wish they had the freedom to make conversations and audiobooks of more natural cadence, but industry standards have to be followed. That is very true.
Yeah.
Even though Chuck addressed your question on show notes, I do want to say we are going to do a separate show just about show notes.
Yes.
Because show notes have come a long way and they've evolved. And while they are also one of the final touches you would add to your podcast at the same time, we're focusing more on the actual podcast itself, the actual content of your audio, which brings us to bed music. What is bed music? Bed music is something like this. If we wanted to have like something grooving in the background, then yeah, if we weren't subject to some of the weirdness that's happening on Twitch, we would go on ahead and we would play stream safe music or pod safe music as it was called back in the day.
Oh yeah.
But bed music is where you have music playing in the background and it just sets a nice tone for things. And I do that for my streams. I do that for my own sessions. And the thing about bed music is where do you get it? For podcasts, it's not as stringent as Twitch or Facebook or YouTube, because all you got to do is get some royalty-free music. And royalty-free music is, as I said earlier, digitaljuice.com. There are other resources. Chuck, do you have any off the top of your head that you know?
Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com. I know a number of friends that use that music. You just search for royalty-free music. Some of them, you pay a service, a one-time fee. I think we did that for the topic is Trek. We bought two tracks for $12 each. Like, ooh, that'll break the bank. But, you know, and you can listen to them ahead of time, but they're watermarked with, this is licensed music or something crazy like that.
Right. Just to make sure you don't try any shenanigans there. Yeah.
Digitaljuice.com. Yeah. But you'll hear that. I love those. It's kind of fun. It's like, one of these days, everybody use one and leave it in there.
It wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me, Chuck, considering how many people I've seen that have done book trailers or they've done video essays and they use the download from Deposit Photo that's watermarked with Deposit Photo. And I'm just sitting there going, dude.
I was just going to say, people are using this on graphics.
Seriously. Yeah.
Say, like, pay the money or get a different graphic.
Exactly. Now, unfortunately, in Podcasting for Dummies, we really can't show, in the companion podcast of Podcasting for Dummies, we really can't show you how to do, how to edit. How do I to edit? You know, that sort of thing. But we can talk a little bit more about some of the details concerning editing. But in the book, I do want to stress that in the book, we do have how to edit with Audacity, how to edit with
GarageBand,
how to edit with GarageBand, how to edit, you know, how to edit your content. And the real trick with editing is to make sure that it does sound, if not conversational, as Resonant Moon mentioned, that it's up to industry standards. Embed music is very tricky because you want to make sure that you've got the bed music balanced right.
Yes.
You don't want it so loud that you're straining to hear what people are saying, but you don't want it so soft that it sounds like it's a bleed over from something that isn't supposed to be in there. And of course, when it comes to bed music going throughout your podcast, there are some podcasters that do that. They do play their play music all the way through. Sometimes they do that to cover up any kind of strange ambient noise that exists.
Or strange edits. Yes, I've done that.
I remember there was a podcaster out of the UK. He had a really odd room noise. So he found some pod safe music, and for the Rev Up review, boy, that takes me back. Paul Jenkins. Oh my God, I can't believe I pulled that name out of my head. Paul Jenkins, who got me saying GarageBand, because he looked at me and he went garage. He was on a panel with me, and he went, yes. When I started editing on GarageBand. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in America. And he looked at me and just went GarageBand. And I'm just like, okay. Okay, Paul. Thank you, Paul. But Paul had this really odd echo. He had this really odd echo/ ambient noise that was like a hum. So to tone that down, he would play in the background some real chill lo-fi hip hop, and it worked. So bed music can serve as a band-aid, if you will, over some things that you have to deal with on a constant level. But on a whole, you just want to make sure that the level that you set, and we do go into setting levels, and we do talk about finding that happy medium between making sure it's not too soft where it's a distraction, but where it's so loud you can't hear the content. Was there anything else you wanted to add concerning bed music?
Yeah, when you're editing visually, you have to remember that the scale of loudness is logarithmic. And I always think, oh, if I bring this down to about half, I mean, I still get fooled by this. It's way too loud. You got to bring that little waveform and Audacity down to about 10% of what the regular voice is, and it will sound just about right. So somewhere in there, it's like, it's almost gone. No one's going to be able to hear this. Yeah, they'll hear it.
And it also depends on the kind of music. If you're playing something with like a heavy bass, you're really going to have to take that down. But if you're playing something very melodic with a lot of flowing notes and things like that, you might have to boost it.
Like we have at the end of this, the what is it? Funky Busy that we use for this one.
Yeah. Funky Busy that we use for this one. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing too, about royalty music, about bed music. The same rules apply with intro and outro and bed music. It is supposed to be royalty free, and which means that it is you've paid for permission to play it. Copyright music is still even if it's in the background, which is one of the arguments that a lot of Twitch streamers gave when they were talking about playing DMCA protected music or DMCA violating music, whatever you want to call it, RIAA protected music. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the excuses because when I first got into the Twitch platform, I remember asking people as a podcaster going, how are you okay with playing copyrighted music through Spotify? And one of the three arguments that I was given, we mentioned this in one of the earlier shows. One of the three arguments I was given was, in fact, it's in the background, so it's okay. That's that's a wrong answer. That is a wrong answer. And here's where you have to get really creative with editing. So the reason I do not play the themes at the beginning of our Happy Hour from the Tower recordings, and the reason why we don't play theme at the beginning of this one, is because twice during Happy Hour from the Tower, Twitch took out the music that is royalty free that I have paid for and I want to use in my podcast. But apparently when I play it as a theme, they take it out. And so what I had to do is I had to go back to three different shows, go to those openings, and I literally stitched together the intro and outro from three different shows to create an original opening for that first one. Then it happened a second time, so I had to go to three other shows and do that again. And the editing was so smooth, not even my co-hosts, Brandon and Nick Kelly, neither one of them noticed that they were intros from previous shows. That's where you have to sometimes get clever, because you want to have a consistency to your podcast. You want it to open the same way. You want it to close the same way. And this is why it's good to understand and practice the basics of audio editing, because in cases of things going wrong,
yep,
you want to try to fix that with editing. That's another thing about editing that is also very important, is that you want to make sure that the editing is going to smooth out any potential tech hiccups you may encounter. I'm pretty much at the end of my thoughts about editing and bed music and everything that we covered in chapter 8. Chuck, was there anything you wanted to?
We touched on intros and outros, and I'd like to just make a couple of comments about the content that goes into there. We used to have a 60-second intro, and we thought it was great. It had some spotlights. It kind of gave you the format of the show as it came in. And then later realized, you know, that's a little too long. We were listening to some of the other podcasts, and I think somebody who went to one of the PodFest Camp Expo, whatever it was, recently said, I went to a workshop just on intros, and here's the five things they said. It keep it succinct. I mean, you may fall in love with your music and go, hey, I paid for this music, I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. But it should really be, get in, you tell what the show is, what it's about. Here's your host. Don't make them wait 60 seconds just to hear your voice in there somewhere.
Right.
So as an example, one of the ones I did started last summer for work is in 15 seconds, maybe it's 10, I can't even remember, but you hear about 3 seconds of the music, then it fades down, and I bring in a female voice. One of my coworkers does a nice voiceover. She says, welcome to the Breakpoint Podcast, the ServiceNow Developer Podcast. Here's your host, Chuck Tomasi. That's it. You got the title, you got who it's for, and who's going to be talking to you. And then I come in and say, welcome, developers, builders, advocates, and curious individuals. And I do my shtick, you know, go into the interview. So we even shortened up Technorama, which we've been using for at least 10 years. Yeah, same intro.
I remember.
And Gay put it together. It gave us some segments and some spotlights and, Too long. We just shortened that up. I said, you know what? I'm going to play this 10-second thing and say, you know, the music starts. And I go, welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech science. So keep that tight. Keep that intro tight. They're going to understand what it's about. They all probably already read the description off of iTunes or Google or wherever they got it anyway, right? Exactly. So they know what they're looking for. You don't have to tell them again and again and again and again and again. On the outro, that's a different story. I like to keep that short. It's tempting to say, find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. And,
sure.
But if you just point them to your website, it's probably going to have that information as well. So
exactly.
You know, keep it light. Don't drag them on, because you know what most people will start doing? They're going to take that scrubber and just go, 30 seconds, I'm out of here. And they're not going to listen to it anyway. So what value does it prove? So keep those things short. Not saying get rid of them entirely, but, you know, As the music goes out, you'll hear us say the usual shtick about Creative Commons and where to find us. You know, yes, that's on our website as well, but you may be driving down the road and not remember that.
Right. And speaking of which, that is exactly what we do. We try to keep it as simple and as succinct and as consistent as possible from show to show to show. Like, for example, at this part of the show, I would say, hey, you know what? We've just finished up this episode 13 of Podcasting for Dummies, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, which means that you can share with us your thoughts at 703-791-1701. Feel free to drop us a message either on Google Voice or WhatsApp, and we will be glad to play it on the show and also answer your question. You can also interact with us directly, as Marvinsky, as Resonant Moon, and as Kat have all noticed. You can do that here at twitch.tv/thetmonster. You can also find us at podcastingfordummies.com, where you can leave a comment on this specific episode. And if you got questions about the art of editing, about intros and outros, that's a great place to ask us. And of course, remember, folks, that Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. And that is our intro. And thank you all for listening. For those of you who are watching on Twitch, you stick around. And for those of you who are getting us on Stitcher, on Google Play, or on Spotify, thanks for listening. Pod on.